It's good to see all of you. Like Brother Steve said, we're glad to see all of you. Appreciate every one of you coming. We've tried to talk this week about how to walk closer with God and how to have fellowship with God, and hopefully that we've accomplished some of that. And tonight, maybe we can add to it a little bit and sort of encourage all of us to walk a little closer with God. I think we could all improve in that area. I know I can. So, and maybe we can do that and glorify God in the process. Let me ask you, are you happy tonight? If you are, how long have you been happy? And how long do you think this happiness might last if you are happy? I ask these questions because happiness is hard to find. It's even harder to hold on to. It's fleeting at the very best. For the most part, I'm talking about this temporal happiness in this world. If you're happy with things around in this world, it's not going to last long. That's the kind that most people seek. But if you have the one true happiness, of course, it'll last forever. Everyone in the world shares one basic desire. We all want to be happy. Every one of us, anywhere you can go, to Japan, Russia, wherever, all over the world. Of course, different people define happiness in different ways. People go to different areas looking for happiness. But it all boils down to the basic human desire. Happiness is what we're after. Have you ever heard anybody say, "I wish I wasn't so happy all the time"? I don't think you'll ever hear anybody say that. Some people may not care about how successful they might be. They don't care if they're rich, if they're good looking, if it doesn't matter to them, if they're married, single, if they got money, if they don't have money. It doesn't matter. A lot of things don't bother them at all. They don't care. They're just happy-go-lucky. But regardless of what they hope for in life, what their goals are, they still, even those people that don't seem to care about much else, everybody wants to be happy. So I think you'll go along with me here on that. It's an intrinsic human desire. We're built this way. It's just instilled in us. That's the goal we look for. Even everybody wants to be happy, and God wants everybody to be happy. That's the part I want you to see. A lot of people, they're looking for it, and they think that happiness is just right around the corner. It's just going to find it any minute. And it's maybe just a few dollars away. You know, you're just so close to it. Maybe it's a new relationship or something. That might be what you're looking for. Maybe it's an achievement at work, some career move or whatever. As people go through life, they're looking for this. They're never quite able to get it. They're never hardly able to grasp happiness. It's just always a little bit out of reach. I think it's interesting that one of three of our unalienable rights mentioned in the Declaration of Independence is we're guaranteed life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, if you notice, we're not guaranteed happiness, we're guaranteed the pursuit of it. There was a recording artist one time, that was very successful. She was very successful and made a lot of money in the business. They asked her if she was happy in an interview several years ago. Her response was, she said, "I don't even know anybody that's happy." I'm not trying to depress you here. There is a positive side to this, and that's what I want us to see. As you may have guessed, the title of my lesson tonight is How to Find Happiness. We're taking our lesson from Isaiah chapter 55. True happiness, the kind that lasts through all ages, through ups and downs, the happiness that stays with us, it eludes most people. If it eludes you, then the passage from the book of Isaiah will give you some insight on how to find the kind of happiness that will last. It's not dependent on situations and circumstances. It's a lot different than the happiness we usually seek. It doesn't depend on our circumstances, what people say or do, or what the stock market might be doing. It doesn't have anything to do with that. Isaiah shows us how to find lasting happiness. Simply put, happiness comes from experiencing the fullness of God. That's where true happiness comes from. You can't get it anywhere else. You might get it for a day or two or a week or so, but it doesn't last. Nothing can bring joy like the personal relationship with God. Fellowship with God is what it's all about. Once you learn to base your happiness on the fellowship with God, then you will be happy from then on, and nothing can take that away from you. Once you get it instilled in you and understand it and you grasp that the way you should. I think Isaiah can help us in our search for happiness. First of all, if we want to be happy, we need to stop negative thinking. That'll kill happiness quicker than anything. Most people who are unhappy, they're negative thinkers. They can give you a bunch of reasons why they're unhappy. They say, how can I be happy when I'm so deep in debt? How can I be happy with the boss that I have to work with? How can I be happy when I have so much to do? I'm so busy, I can't get everything done. On and on and on, they can give you all these reasons why they're not happy. First thing to do in trying to find happiness is stop making a list of all the negative things that's making you unhappy. Don't dwell on that. Just get that off of your mind. Count your blessings instead. And don't just dwell on that list. You're still going to have the problems, but they won't matter as much. If you don't dwell on it, you'll be a lot happier for it. If people have the same problems as you, happier than you if you're a negative thinker. I'm not saying you are. I'm saying if that's the case. But they're happy. There are people out there who have cancer, but they're still happy. There are people out there that are in debt. You know, there's a lot of poor people in the world. Most of the world, people are poor. There's a lot of happy people out there. There's people that have these mean bosses out there. They're still happy. But they're positive thinkers is the reason they're happy. Isaiah says here in verse 1, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Water is a metaphor here for law and wisdom. It's what he's talking about. Without water, the world could never function. Of course, we know that. Likewise, it's impossible to function without wisdom. Goes on to say, you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. He's saying this is offered freely. He said, come. This is offered freely. Proverbs 3 and 13 says, happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. You can't have one without the other. Wisdom and happiness go hand in hand. Isaiah is saying, stop thinking negatively. Whatever you think is holding you back is not holding you back. You know, we can come up with these excuses and reasons, but God has eliminated all the barriers. There's no excuse for us not to come to God. No excuse whatsoever. He's eliminated all the barriers so we can come to Him and have peace and fulfillment. We can socialize and have fellowship with God no matter what our circumstances are. Even if you have no money, he says, don't use that as an excuse. Make an effort. Come and buy and eat, is what Isaiah says. Don't let what you don't have prevent you from experiencing fullness with God. If you turn to Him for your source of happiness, you can be filled with joy. You'll just be overjoyed if you turn to Him for happiness. That's where happiness is, more than you ever imagined. Sometimes we don't buy into it all the way. We just sort of mediocrely come to church. And, you know, when you first come into church, sometimes you're pretty excited about it. Sometimes it kind of wanes off. And I think we need to read more about how to fellowship with God, how to be closer with God, because that's where it's at. He wants fellowship with us, every one of us. Today, some of you may be thinking, if I just had this one thing, I've done this before, so when, you know, when you hear somebody in the pulpit when they're telling you stuff, they've thought of this themselves before. They're not perfect. If I just had this one thing, I'd be happy. If I could just do this particular thing or that thing over there, if I could do this or I could do that, I would be happy. Everything would just be wonderful if I could do that. Well, you know, a lot of times we've been going through Walmart or something when we have grandkids with us. They start begging for a toy. I say, I want this, I want this, I want this. And they got toys at the house. We tell them, so look, you got a closet full of toys at the house. They're scattered all over the floor right now. We can't walk for the toys. You don't need this toy. But I want it, I want it, I want it. And they beg. It's about a $5 toy. You know, it's not that much. So we give in, and we go ahead and buy the toy. Sure enough, a couple hours later, they've either broken the toy or they just lost it, don't know where it is. They're bored with it, don't care anything about it, no more than the rest of the toys they already had. Well, you can say I told you so, whatever you want to. Next week or week after, whenever we're back down there, the same thing happens again. Do it the very same thing again. They don't learn. But then they are children, aren't they? How about us? Are we any different? Think about it. Are we any different than they are? Do we keep looking for things to make us happy? I've been guilty of it a lot. and they don't make us happy. They don't last that couple hours as long as you can keep those kids happy with that, and they were through with it. Jesus is saying, forget about things. Happiness is not in things, it's in me. That's what Jesus is saying. Stop making excuses and start making an effort. Come to me. That's where it is. There's no happiness anywhere else. We've all pursued lots of different routes. I'm sure you could probably just get up and testify where all you've looked for happiness, and you could tell us tonight it didn't work. Later in the book of John, Jesus says in John 7, verse 37-38, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Becoming happy requires effort on your part. You won't wake up one day and discover that all the pieces have come together, all your problems have gone away, and everything is just wonderful. Not in this life. It's just not going to happen in this life, is it? You can't depend on your spouse, your children, your friends, to see fit that it works out the way you want it to work out. You can't depend on that. It's up to you. We all stand alone in our service to God. We all stand alone there. If you want to be happy, you're going to have to stop negative thinking. Start making an effort to find happiness in Christ. Whatever you have to do that. It may require eliminating some things out of your life. Paraphrasing verse 2, Isaiah 55, he says, why spend money on what is not bread, and you labor on what does not satisfy? Of course, that's what we do. We waste our time and money on things that are just a waste of time, waste of money. He says, you're buying the wrong things. That's so true too, isn't it? There are many people whose strategy for finding happiness to do things that are only going to make them miserable. A lot of people do that, most of the world. It's like they say, I want to see the sunset, so I'm going to look east until it happens. If you look east, you're never going to see the sunset. You never will see it. If you will never find happiness if you look at the wrong things. If you look and look and look, the older we get, looks like we'd realize, you know, we've looked at that direction for years and it never did bring happiness. Looks like it would dawn on us after a while, but it's hard for us to learn. Yet that's what exactly a lot of people do, day after day, year after year. They're doing what Isaiah just described, spending money on that which is not bread, and spending their labor on that which does not satisfy. Most people go about it all wrong. They fill their lives with self-destructive activities that are guaranteed to bring them misery. People do this. Such as abusing alcohol, spending too much money, taking drugs and so forth. They do all these things to try to find a little bit of happiness, forget their troubles maybe, whatever. But it doesn't. It can't. It's spending money on what's not bread. It's spending labor on things that don't work, don't satisfy. It only leads to emptiness and isolation. So after they do this, their life is kind of miserable already, and so they go buy whatever. And it just makes them worse when it's all over. They've spent all their money on this and it's all over. They still got all those problems, probably a little more to go with it. Ironically, people pursue these things for happiness and they get caught up in their destructive lifestyles because it's addictive. When you start fooling with alcohol and drugs and spending money, even gambling, whatever, it's addictive. These things that we do, you get caught up in it. And people are often blind to the consequences of it, and sometimes they just deny that there's any problem going on there. I've never known anybody that was anorexic, but I've talked to people that I've heard about it. They say that somebody that's anorexic, they're down to skin and bones because they're trying their best to lose every ounce of fat in their body to make them happy, because they think that will make them happy. And then they don't realize what everybody else realizes is they're killing themselves. They're not going to live much longer because they're malnourished. But they don't see that and they won't admit that. They're blind to that. Overcoming bad habits is a complicated matter. Once you get into a habit, if it's a good habit, it's a good thing. Habits are habits. But if you got a bad habit going on, it's hard to get rid of it. It involves more than just turning over a new leaf. That's why a lot of times it doesn't work. And, you know, 1 First day of January, you say, I'm going to quit this, this, and this. I'm going to do better at this. It's easy to say that, but it's hard to do. A habit's hard to quit. So, y'all know, most of you know I work down at the gym. We deal with there. We have January, they work me to death coming there, signing up at the gym. 2 weeks later, most of them are gone. They've turned over a new leaf. They're going to get in shape. Some of them say they're going to get back in shape like they used to be Schwarzenegger or something, though. But a couple of weeks later, they're gone. You don't see them. It's hard to change. It's not that easy. If you're unhappy because you're caught up in some kind of addiction, the only way you're going to do it is ask God's help. Get you out of that compulsive behavior. Get you out of that habit that you're in. I want you to know that God has the power to set you free. Whatever it is, He can help you through it. If you have fellowship with God, He's on your side. He can help you. We forget how powerful God is sometimes. We rely on our own strength. Sometimes we pray to God to help us a little bit, and He'll get us up on our feet, and we forget Him, and we go right back to trying to do it on our own. It's not the way to do it. You know, we should, when He gets us on our feet, keep talking to Him, keep walking with Him, stay with Him. If He got you up on your feet, how much further can He take you? We get it all wrong. So many times we want to take the wheel again, you know, after He gets us out of the mess we're in. Your part in this is to identify what it is that you need help with. That's what you need to do. Too many times people can't do that, but if you'll just say yes, just like the anorexic, she could know she needed help with that. She could ask God to help her, or He, I guess. Mostly women that are anorexic, but you have to identify it. You have to really understand that you need this to start with. If you deny it, then you won't ever ask for help. But recognize what it is and ask God to help you. Recognize that it's ruining your life and do whatever you have to do to eliminate it. Eliminate the destructive behavior that's killing you, and God will give you the power to do it. But you know, it's not just a destructive behavior. It's not just that you're an alcoholic, you're a drug addict, you're a gambler, you're this, you're that. It's not just that behavior that can make you miserable. There's certain things we do that are not bad in and of themselves. These things can't bring us happiness either. Most people who are unhappy fall in this category. For example, a career is good and necessary. We need that. You have to work. The Bible says a man that won't work shouldn't eat. We have to work, don't we? But no career can bring ultimate happiness. Cannot. It's only so much a career can do. Yet many pour themselves into a career for years and years and years, and they work overtime, and they leave family off, and they just throw themselves into work. And maybe they're successful, maybe they're not. But even if they're successful and make lots of money, later on, years later, they can see that they're not happy. They're not happy. Marriage is good, but no relationship can provide the inner peace and contentment that many people want. You can't, it's not inner peace and just complete happiness in a marriage that you can get from God. Some people say, well, if I could just meet the right person, you know, then everything would be all right. A lot of married couples that are having trouble, they say, well, maybe if we could just have a baby, that would straighten us up. We'd be a lot happier if we could just have a baby. Maybe that's what we need. Here's the thing. A job is good. There's nothing wrong with a job. Nothing wrong with a career. Have a good job, making good money, nothing wrong with that at all. A marriage is good. Children are wonderful. All those things are good. But don't look to these things to give more than they can possibly give. We expect too much of them. Then you're going to be disappointed, aren't you? They can very well add to your happiness. No doubt, but however, they cannot create your happiness. That's what I want you to see. All these things are good and wonderful, but they cannot create your happiness. Too many times people put too much stock in that. If I just had this or that or that, I would be so happy. No, you won't. No, you won't. That's not where it is. So don't expect too much from that. It is. You can have a good life. You can have a good marriage, children, good job, on and on and on and on. But if you got God first, then you can be happy. You need all those things. But don't just put too much in that. The only way to find happiness is to have fellowship with God. True fellowship with God. That's true happiness. If you're not happy right now, you need to get closer to God. Just decide once and for all to eliminate everything that's keeping you from Him. Whatever it is that's keeping you from being happy, from being with God. I don't know where you are spiritually right now. I don't know what's going on in your life. But you need to make an effort to know God. Whatever it takes, whatever you got to eliminate in your life, whatever you got to add. Maybe your religion consists of no more than just coming to church on Sunday morning. That's not enough. That's not enough. I want you to know there's more to having a relationship with God than just coming to church on Sunday morning. If you give an hour, hour and a half on Sunday morning, it's not enough. You can have a life-changing spiritual connection with God if you put more time into it. Think of Him every morning, all during the day. Talk with Him all the time. The Bible says pray without ceasing. You know, that don't mean that we just have to, we don't have to take time to take a drink of water. We're just praying continuously. You couldn't live very long like that. But I think what he's talking about is all during the day, just talk with God. Whatever you're doing, have God in the forefront of your mind. Know he's there with you. Know that he's there with you, watching whatever you're doing and listen to what you're thinking. Think about God. Talk to him during the day. There is time to do that. I think David probably talked with him a lot during the day. If you look at David, I've said this a lot. David's one of my very favorites. And I said, I think Sunday night probably was talking about all the mistakes he made. But he knew how to reverence God. He knew. If you look at all the bad things he did, I don't think there's anybody in this room has done half or a third or a tenth as bad as David did. But he was a man after God's own heart. We beat him out on the bad things he did, but we don't come close to the good things he did, I don't think. I don't think we can revere God as much as David did. When you read Psalms and you read the things, the way he talks to God, I wish I had a vocabulary like he did to talk to God. It's humbling when you read all that he said. They conducted a Gallup poll a few years ago, and they did a survey to find out how many people were really deeply committed Christians. And they found out of all the people that claimed to be Christians, less than 10% of them were really committed or claimed to be. You can't ever know. You can talk to anybody. You can't. There's no monitor you can put on somebody and see if they're really Christians, you know. But they just had to take their word for it. But less than 10%. And they categorized them, and they said that according to this, they were very happy people. They were people-oriented people. They were always out to help. And they said it didn't matter about the backgrounds. They were more susceptible to diverse backgrounds, community-oriented. And said they were prayer-conscious. They said they were devoted to prayer, daily prayer, on and on and on and on. And they said they were happier than the rest of the population. Of course, they would be. We all know church-going people who are always a little grumpy, you know. There's some religious people always mad about something. There's an old joke about this fellow visited a particular congregation. When he arrived there, they had this complaint box there pretty close to the front door. And he said, well, if everybody's so happy here, he said, why y'all got this complaint box? This old fellow said, well, we learned a long time ago, he said, the only way some people can be happy is if they got something to complain about. Well, we all know people like that, but don't mistake that kind of happiness for what God can give you. That happiness is a joke, isn't it? Think about the happiness God offers you. God offers you happiness that's so deep and so dynamic. The Apostle Peter referred to it as joy unspeakable, joy beyond words. 1 Peter 1 and 8. That's what God wants for each one of us, that joy unspeakable. That's what he wants to give you. And he's offered it for thousands of years. And we need to wake up and take him up on it. In conclusion, paraphrasing Isaiah 55, verse 2 and 3. He's saying, listen to me and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in richness. Listen to me, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. You don't have to look any further. You don't have to need anyone else. You don't need anything else. All you need is God. He can give you happiness above and beyond anything the world has to offer. God wants you to live, not just survive. He wants you to live. He wants you to have an abundant life here in this life. as well as later on, but he wants to help your life here. He don't want you on Prozac, nerve pills of all kind. He don't want you worrying, walking the floor, wringing your hands. He don't want you sick and worried with ulcers. He wants you happy here. Embrace your relationship with God. Talk to him through Jesus. He went through a lot to send Jesus down here to make it possible for us to talk to him through Jesus. We need to capitalize on that. We need to appreciate that and use that prayer. Could you imagine where you'd be without prayer? Listen to what he says to you through his word and put your faith in him, and he'll give you happiness that cannot be put into words. Cling to him as if your only hope for happiness in this world is because of him. Because it really is. That's the only place you're going to find happiness. That's my lesson. I hope maybe that we might have got a thought out of it. Might be encouraged to walk closer with God, because that's the only thing that's going to get us anywhere is to walk closer with God. If we don't have a fellowship with God, we're spinning our wheels. If anyone here desires services of the church, if you need prayer for strengthening, we all need prayer. We'd be happy to do that for you. If you've strayed away from the church and need prayer to be reinstated, if you need to be baptized into the church and come into the church and start serving God and see what happiness is all about, we'd be happy to help you in either situation while we stand and while we sing.